Parshas Lech Lecha discusses Avraham Avinu's journey from Haran to Eretz Yisrael, and then the various trials and tribulations that Avraham faced upon his journey. While Hashem does give Avraham many mitzvahs, Hashem tells him to go out of his land and go to Eretz Yisrael, Hashem tells him to send Yishmael away, but none of the mitzvahs in this week's Parsha pertain to any physical object with the exception of Milah. Milah is the only mitzvah that's done with Avram's body and is done on a concrete physical object. And although in next week's parasha we're going to encounter the idea of the Akedah, and the Akedah would have also been done in a physical object, ultimately the Akedah is not actually carried out. And furthermore, there's no lasting mitzvah to the Jewish people to do an Akedah, while there is a lasting mitzvah on the Jewish people to do a Milah. So what's unique about Milah? Why is it that Milah was the only mitzvah that Hashem gives Avram? Furthermore, Chazal tell us that the Ovis kept the entire Torah before the Torah was given. So why dafke did Avram wait until Hashem told him to do Milah when seemingly Avram was doing all the other mitzvahs in the Torah well before Hashem gave out any commands? Now, this teaching, Bechlal, is a teaching that we have to understand because it seems a little bit strange that the Ovis would be keeping the entire Torah before the Torah was given. First of all, the Torah had not been given yet, so how would they know about these mitzvahs? And second of all, a lot of the mitzvahs in the Torah seem to be tied to historical events, or we say that many of the details of mitzvahs are halacha l'moshe m'sinai. For example, mitzvahs tefillin, the precise contours of mitzvahs tefillin, the fact that there are four boxes, the fact that there are black straps, all of that is said to be halacha l'moshe m'sinai. Or when it comes to matzah on Pesach, in principle, doesn't that celebrate a historical event? Doesn't the sukkah celebrate a historical event? So how could the Ovis be doing all these mitzvahs? So Chassidus explains that mitzvahs, in general, symbolize certain spiritual ideas. To take the idea of Pesach, Pesach is about Yetzias Mitzrayim, but Yetzias Mitzrayim means going out of one's inner boundaries. Matzah, which is flat bread, symbolizes humility. It symbolizes bittul. So the idea there is that the Ovis kept all the mitzvahs, even the mitzvahs derabanan, because the Ovis were in touch with the spiritual energy that the particular mitzvah speaks to, even if they did not actually do that mitzvah. For example, Chassidus says that Yaakov Avinu did not actually put on tefillin, but he engaged in a ritual act which reminded him or got him in the energy that tefillin would get you into. Shulchan Aruch tells us that tefillin is about shibud hamoyach v'alif. It's about committing one's mind and heart to Hashem. So Yaakov Avinu engaged in this ritual of committing himself to Hashem in his mind and heart, even if he didn't necessarily put on tefillin the way that we put on tefillin. But that being said, although it's the case that the rest of the mitzvahs were connecting to that spiritual energy, whether or not they engaged in the mitzvahs we do it now, Avram certainly performed Milah the way that we perform Milah. So why is Milah unique? Why is that Milah is Avram's first mitzvah? The Rebbe addresses this question in the Kutei Sichas Chelek Gimel in the first Sicha. Reading on page 757, the Sicha begins. Oiv dem was the Torah der zelt. On that which the Torah relates is Avram Avinu at zich mol given, erish fener is alt givar 99 sigyar. That Avram Avinu first gave himself a Milah at 99 years old. Frechtman, it's asked, and this is brought in the Sefer Torah Or of the Alter Rebbe, but the Alter Rebbe says his question belongs to earlier Svarim. So the question is, Avraham Avinu hadach makayim given the ganze Torah. The Gemara in Kedushin, the Gemara in Yuma tell us that Avraham Avinu kept the entire Torah. Nor eder ziz gem gvarn, even before the Torah was given. Farvas hatar mitr mitz mila gvarit biz the Ebeshim das hasten ton. So why then did Avraham wait until Hashem told him to do the mitzvah? To do mitzvah mila. That from here verstehen, dem Unterscheid zwischen den Mitzvahs, die Ovis hat Mekayim gewähnt, Feiermatten Theorem, und die Mitzvahs, die sind Mekayim Nachmatten Theorem. So in order to understand this question, in order to understand why it is that Avraham Avinu waits to do Milah, unlike the Mitzvahs, we need to understand the difference between the Mitzvahs that the Ovis did before Matten Theorem and that the Jewish people fulfill now after Matten Theorem. The Rekiyah Mitzvah by the Ovis is given Mitzvah Eginem Koyech. The film of the mitzvahs by the forefathers was done with their own power. It was done with their own spiritual power, their own spiritual understanding. They weren't necessarily relying on inspiration from above. They weren't necessarily relying on divine support in order to do their mitzvahs. They were very strongly empowered individuals. They were able to reach very high spiritual heights. They didn't necessarily need to cry out and beg Hashem for help because they were already so gifted, they were so powerful. An example of this would be, let's say you have somebody who's extremely brilliant, so they don't necessarily need to pray for extra siyat d'shmaya in order to do well in Libra Teira, or for that matter, to do well in learning math. Or alternatively, if you have somebody who's built to be naturally strong, they don't necessarily need to daven extra for special siyat d'shmaya, for special divine support, in order that they'd be able to exert physical strength in the world in whatever way they need to. So in a similar fashion, we're saying that the Avos were very spiritually empowered in this way, and they didn't need to rely so much on help from above. The key mitzvah by the Avos is given in their eigenem kayach. The fulfillment of the mitzvah by the Avos was done with their own power. And they didn't need a special, unique power from above in order to fulfill their mitzvahs. Which Hashem gave to the Jews through His command of Matan Torah. Therefore, for that reason, although it's the case the Avos did in fact fulfill mitzvahs in Gashmias physically, meaning although it's the case that they engaged in ritual acts, they weren't able to transform, they weren't able to sanctify the physical objects with which they did mitzvahs. That the physical objects that they did mitzvahs with would have an energy of holiness. So the Rebbe here gives an example. We learn in Parshas Vayetze about how about a Yaakov Avinu would peel the staves as he was shepherding his sheep. So the Rebbe explains on this that whatever Yaakov Avinu was doing by peeling the staves, that was actually a spiritual ritual which mirrored the act of mitzvah tefillin. But nonetheless, although it's the case that Yaakov Avinu did a physical ritual to fulfill the mitzvah tefillin, or to manifest the energy of tefillin, the maklis themselves, the sticks with which Yaakov Avinu did this ritual, did not themselves become holy. So now just read that inside. So the maklis is the mitzvah that mamshich given the mshachas l'yenis, was mersein mamshich during the durech the mitzvah of tefillin. With these sticks, Yaakov Avinu was able to manifest the lofty manifestations which we manifest through doing the mitzvah of tefillin. From that again, but nonetheless, is noch sein abtan the avedim with the maklis, after Yaakov Avinu finished his spiritual work with the maklis, with the sticks, they remained sticks without any added holiness. In contrast, the mitzvahs which Jewish people fulfill after Matan Torah, they have the power, which Hashem gave through His command. So mamshech zayin kedusha oich in the dvarim gashmim, to manifest holiness even in physical objects, as their geshem zolver and helik, such that the physicality itself should become holy. For their tzveit zayit, on the other hand, however, hagam is unzer mitzvah zayin in echer darga vidi mitzvah ovis, although it's the case that our mitzvahs nowadays, after Matan Torah, do have a certain virtue over the mitzvahs of the ovis, is ober davke thus was the ovis, hab makayim given mitzvahs far Matan Torah. Hot ki geben a megelkeit, the fact that the Avos kept the mitzvahs for Matan Torah, although it's against the our mitzvahs are higher, their keeping the mitzvahs paved the way for us. It gave us the opportunity and the empowerment that we too could fulfill mitzvahs in the physical world. Which upon this, it says, Maisa Avos Simim Labanu. The actions of the forefathers are a symbol, are a sign for the children. The ma'isim of the Avos zenin letzaychin nasinas koyach, and the Rebbe interprets this the way the Ramban interprets this line that ma'is Avos in Labanim is that the journeys of our forefathers foreshadow the Jewish people's journeys. We see that Avram is traveling all around. He goes down to Mitzrayim, up from Mitzrayim, travels here, travels there. He has a war. He goes to Eleni Mamre. Yaakov has a big fight with the Sar Yishal Esav. Yitzhak has to dig wells in Beersheba. We see the Avos are going on a lot of journeys. They're doing a lot of things. So the Ramban tells us, Ma'isa Avosim Lebanim, that the Avos throughout their lives are foreshadowing all of Jewish history. So here the Rebbe, alpi the teachings of the Alter Rebbe, and the Tzemach Tzedek is taking this teaching of Mais Avos, Sinim Labanim, in a different way. Instead of historical foreshadowing, the Rebbe is saying that there's a metaphysical foreshadowing, that history is in a state of progression, and we have Tzedekim before the Avos, like Adam and Noach, or even the generations before the Avos, who engage the world in a certain way, but the way in which they engage the world is not necessarily one of manifesting holiness. The Avos come and they begin to manifest holiness in the world, but the way in which they manifest holiness does not completely suffuse the world. The Jewish people come along after Mount Torah, and their being in the world suffuses certain objects with sanctity, say objects like tefillin, Shabbos candles, Sefer Torah, mezuzos, and then La'asad Lavi, the next stage in the historical progression, is that in Yemais HaMashiach, the Jewish people, and perhaps everyone, will be able to turn every object into a holy, consecrated object. But that said, we're saying that the Avos are a necessary stage on this historical journey. Their acts are a simen, they are a sign, but also an asinas koyach, an empowerment, treading upon the path for Isaiah Kinder for their children. Given that the empowerment to fulfill the mitzvahs for the children and for the Jewish people derives from the actions of our forefathers, from the mitzvahs, was the Avos had mekayim given from the mitzvahs that our forefathers fulfilled. Der Iber had some winstigsten ein mitzvah from the Avos gedarf seinen ganzen gleich to the mitzvahs for Noach Ma'antera. So you would think that at the very least, at least one mitzvah that the Avos fulfilled should be completely similar to the mitzvahs that were filled after Ma'antera. Those things, meaning to say, as the mitzvahs on mit ir kedusha durchdringen der davar gashmi, as er alein zolverin kodesh, that the mitzvah with its holiness should completely suffuse the physical object such that it would become holy. Und die Kedusha sollen ihm euch verbleiben, noch in Mekayim sein mit ihm die Mitzvah. And the holiness would remain even after they fulfilled the Mitzvah. Und durch der das Gehen Mitzvah von die Ovis haben euch alle Zayir an der Mitzvahs. Hagam, sie haben Mamschik gewinnt die Amschachas nor in Ruchnius. And through this one Mitzvah, which would completely and permanently transform the physical object and suffuse with holiness. So through that, all the other mitzvahs that the Avos kept, even though in general what they would manifest in this world was only a spiritual manifestation, but there was no physical transformation, there was no new status of holiness conferred on the physical objects. But nonetheless, through the path of that one mitzvah which did transform physical objects, there would be a shaychus to the mitzvahs for Noach Ma'antera. That would be the bridge which would connect the mitzvah of us to the mitzvahs which happened after Ma'antera. As a given a koyach, that this would give an empowerment to mekayim zayin the mitzvahs, to fill the mitzvahs and mamshich zayin durich zay, and to manifest through them hamshachas oich in gashmias. That there would be manifestations also in physicality. A dugma to them, an example for this, a similar paradigm. Was lepachas ein mitzvah from the Avos, the gedarv zayin zah, was iri hamshachas al harob kon gashmias, that the mitzvah of the Avos had to be in such a way that at least one of them would manifest in physicality. Gifin mir oich by the Nevi'im. We find a similar thing by the prophets. B'shaste b'shirat b'feilin anavi. Tzuzogin anavi'givis anavu'ah. When Hashem would command a prophet to relate, to say over a particular prophecy, hotem filim older ebeshter by gehesin, ton fashin the pools in gashmias, un in verbindung mit der nevu'ah. Hashem would often tell the Navi to do a lot of physical actions and connections with the prophecy. Legen sich auf der linker Seite, auf der rechter Seite, und so weiter. He would tell the Navi to maybe lie on their left side, lie on their right side, and the like. The Rebbe here is referring to a phenomenon that we see most often in Nevi'im Achrenim, where Hashem tells the Navi a certain Nevuah, and then he has the Navi symbolically act out that Nevuah with some physical symbols. And this is actually quite a pervasive theme in the book of Yechezkel. And here the Rebbe is referring to Yechezkel Perek Dalid, so let's briefly explore that nevuah. Yechezkel Perek Dalid takes place with Yechezkel living in the land of Bavel with the earlier exile of the Jewish people for the destruction of the first temple. And Hashem tells Yechezkel to engage in a number of symbolic acts, which are all going to symbolize the impending Babylonian siege against Yerushalayim and its ultimate destruction. The parak begins by Hashem telling Yechezkel to take a brick and etch on the brick a picture of Yerushalayim, and then set up various things which will symbolize the besieging army, battering rams, and all the other vehicles which will ultimately destroy Yerushalayim. Then Hashem tells Yechezkel to lie on his left side for 390 days. And those 390 days symbolize the 390 years which the kingdom of Israel, the kingdom of the Ten Shvatim, sinned. And then Hashem tells Yechezkel to lie on his right side for 40 days after that, symbolizing the 40 years which Yehuda sinned. Hashem then tells Yechezkel to prepare a certain recipe of bread, which is made up of a lot of grains that in those times only animals would eat. Ironically, there's actually a religious company in the U.S. these days which produces a bread they call Ezekiel bread, which follows this recipe. Although I wonder if the people who eat this bread are aware that the bread symbolizes or is part of a symbol of tremendous destruction and symbolizes the bread of hunger and the bread of exile. But be that as it may, Hashem tells Yechezkel to do all these radical symbolic things. There does happen to be a machlekes in the Rishonim whether Yechezkel is actually physically doing all these things, but the general consensus in the Rishonim is that Yechezkel is actually physically doing all these things. They're not just happening in a vision like the Rambam would have it in Mor Nevuchim, but instead the consensus is that they're actually happening in real life. And it would seem that given the very limited measure of water that Yechezkel is drinking and the very limited measure of food that he's eating, it would be difficult to imagine Yechezkel moving around and also living on such a limited quantity of water and bread. So it's actually quite likely that this was happening in real life. That's what Rishonim say, that Yechezkel actually lied on his left side for 390 days and then turned over and lied on his right side for the following 40 days. And if we're discussing symbolic nevuah, then we're talking about a tragic symbolic nevuah, we might as well talk about a nicer one from Yechezkel Perek Lamed Zayin, where Hashem tells Yechezkel to take two staves and to write on one staff, one piece of wood, Yehuda, and on the other staff to write Ephraim, and Ephraim is the symbol of a Ten Shvatim, and to bind the two sticks together, and that symbolizes that although it's the case that Yehuda and Yisrael, that the ten tribes and the tribe Yehuda were on opposing sides and they split, La'asad Lavei, the Jewish people are all going to be one, and they will never be split again. But whatever the case may be, we see that unlike in Nevi'im Rishonim, where Nevi'im like Eliyahu and Elisha were going around performing miracles, here we see very often Nevi'im Achrinim, Nevi'im performing symbolic acts. And the Rebbe asks, why is it that these Nevi'im are performing these symbolic acts? Why doesn't Hashem just tell Yechezkel, go and tell the people that Yerushalayim is going to be destroyed by Bavel? Go and tell the people that Lo Asid Lavei, after they do tshuva, Yehuda and Yisrael can get back together. Why does Hashem tell Yechezkel to engage in these intense symbolic activities? So libvas hotman gedar forbidden in the womb of the Pulagashmas. Why did the prophecy need to be connected to a physical act? So the Svarim explain, and the Rebbe knows this is the explanation of the Ramban, Alatayra, Bereshis, Yud Beis Vav, as well as the Drosh Saran, Drosh Beis. So the Svarim explain, as is Ken Zayin, as Nevuah Zolzach Endrin. It's possible that a Nevuah might change. And the Rebbe explains, Verbleben Bleis in Ruchnias. It might only remain in spirituality. It might only remain a potential, but not actually be actualized in the real world. Is in the Gashmit Tegevelt. So in order that the Nevoa actually play out in this physical world, Hashem told the Navi to connect the Nevoa to Gashmis. And the idea is that our actions in the physical world matter. And this is connected to the idea in general in Chassidus that the world is composed of three dimensions, the dimension of time, space, and consciousness, or in the Lashon of Sefer Yetzirah, Olam, Shana, and Nefesh. And Nefesh is connected with consciousness, and the actions that we have are actually significant. So by doing this miniature action in the world, that creates a reality in which the nevuah can take hold and take place. The ein mitzvah from the avis, but the mamshich given glusha eichin gashmis, is given mitzvahs milah. The one mitzvah that the avis did, which also manifested, was also brought forth holiness in the physical world, was the mitzvah milah. The mitzvahs milah zeichen sich aus der mit, was die macht eif glusha in dem davar gashmi. The mitzvah milah distinguishes itself by conveying holiness into the physical object. And the same holiness remains even later. As the Torah tells us, that my bris shall be, it shall remain in your flesh. This will be my covenant with you, my bond with you, within your physical flesh. The bris olam. So abun was bleibt if abik, a bond which lasts forever. You're clearing with them. The clarification of this is, Teichen Mitzvahs Mila is Tzvei Inyonim. The content of Mila is twofold. Ein Inyon is the mitzvah state that there ain't Malik Kepula. One idea is that the mitzvah consists in the one action, the one-time action. In the molzain der Bzar Orla, in removing the foreskin, removing the flesh of the Orla. Atzvei Tirinyin. Oysa de Pulas Mila is da apulun mshechas. Beyond the act of the meal, there's also the continued activity of the meal, the continuing effect of the meal. As the Menjol Zayin Adamo, that the person gains the status of a circumcised person. And Oich, furthermore, Ezol Nit Zayin Kin Arl, he won't be considered an uncircumcised person. For Nemas Ram Paskint, as Hameshach Arlosi, Geit the Rain Dem Klal, for Hamesh Verbrise Shal Avram Avino. From that which the Ram explains, that a person who tries to undo the physical effects of the meal, that such a person has the status of somebody who abrogates, who undoes the bris of Avram, the covenant of Avram. Is a raya the mitzvah is nit beloiz, this ein malak molzain. That shows that the mitzvah is not only the one-time act of milah, nor yach eftan as der mensch olzain amol, nitkin oral, but rather, it's also accomplished that the person will have the continued status of being somebody who's circumcised and not somebody who's an Ariel or has the luchk status of uncircumcised. When they're fired, then there is meishach or losay. And therefore, when somebody tries to draw back their foreskin, they try to undo the surgical effects of milah. Tuta pa'ula, if mevat zain pulas amila, they do something in order to undo the milah. Tishtetu dermit, then bris shal Avram Avinu. They thereby disturb the covenant of Avram Avinu. Minzet zvein yonim. So we see two things. Aleph, the mitzvah mila is to eftan and me'ever alein. The mitzvah mila impacts the physical organ, the physical limb itself. Nit nor is the ev is a mitl. It's not just that the limb is a medium by which you perform the mitzvah. Atazev mitzvah von legen tefillin, eftir hat eifin kop. An example of a place where you have a aver, you have a limb, which is a medium for performing the mitzvah, is like the mitzvah tefillin, where you put the tefillin on your hand or on your head. Merinit v'zdurich de'evarim is min mekayim ha-mitzvah. The hatman kop v'endurich de'emitzvah nit ibergandisht. Although it's the case that through these evarim, through these limbs, you're performing the mitzvah, nonetheless, the hand or your head have not been fundamentally altered. Nor the mitzvah is supailin dem ever gashmi alein, as al zayin amo adunit kein oil. But in contrast, milah is actually about transforming the organ itself, turning you into a circumcised person, and making sure that you do not have the status of an uncircumcised person. And beis, another facet of milah. The milah is nit blois in the tzayit and metuti plus milah. Milah does not only remain restricted to the time when you do the act of milah, nor is it zich b'meshach tam ganzen levin for the modem mo, but rather it remains throughout the entire lifetime of the circumcised person. Arayiv demazit milah is a mitzvah mshechas. A proof that we see that milah is a long-term mitzvah, is a continuous mitzvah, we see from the Gemara Menoch, Staff and Gilmol and Beis. The Gemara itself, the Gemara relates, as David the Melech, when it's a rain merchitz, when David the Melech would go to the bathhouse, on her gezen, as there is naked, and he saw that he was unclothed. Hatar gezakt, he said, Veimir, oy vei, How could it be that I'm standing unclothed without any mitzvahs? And bal dir zich der mont in der mitzvah mila hat zich baruch. However, when David HaMelech remembered that he still had the mitzvah mila, he calmed down. His mind was at peace. Zed min doch der fun. So we see therefrom as the mitzvah mila is a mitzvah mshachas. That mila is a continuous mitzvah. As a yid hot ev zich di mitzvah, ich noch der pulas mila. That the Jew has upon himself the mitzvah even after the act of the mila. On their fires is hashvatayt from David HaMelech, and that's why David became peaceful when he became tranquil. Vanarzich der mont if the dozikim mitzvah. When he remembered that he had this mitzvah. Bekendet zogin as David's baruch kung is given zlubim kiyum et mila von amon. You can't say that David became calm because he remembered that he once fulfilled the mila. The mila was once fulfilled on him. That then holiness became manifested, became drawn down upon him. Because in that sense, the Rebbe asserts, there's no difference between the mitzvah which was done by the mila and other limbs. Meaning, tefillin was once put on David's arm. Tefillin was once put on David's head. Mila was once done on David. But since the mitzvahs were once done on the Yavarim, but were not done now, there's no special virtue to Mila unless Mila is a continuous mitzvah. Hagam as oichin other mitzvahs. Although it's a case that even by other mitzvahs. Vila mashal v'ani like the yetz tefillin, for example, when a Jew puts on tefillin. V'balz shayin nachmat and teira, peyon di tefillin, an eis edlung, un a helikait and kop, un in hand. Although it's the case that the tefillin clarify, they make more edel, they make more refined one's head and one's hand when you put your tefillin on. Oich noch der Zeit von anachas tefillin. Even after the time of putting on tefillin, they still elevate the hand and head which wore the tefillin. Vroom says doch zicher. As a hand was like tefillin. Is nit gleich zu hand was like nit chas shalom kein tefillin. Because it's certain that a hand which puts on tefillin is different than a hand that does not put on tefillin. Is zaber nit mer via zikil chorak dusha. That's nonetheless only a clarification and a conveyal of holiness. Onit as the mitzvah tefillin aligned, beleibt in her hand oishtendik. But not the mitzvah tefillin itself remains within your hand. And there is the mitzvah mila. But mitzvah mila is different. Vas the mitzvah bleib shtendik in guf adam. That the mitzvah remains within the person's body. Their meat that for entered the kashiv was this fact. And with that, we can understand the question this asks. Dushan tachofet ha-samar alif. Dibir masal oisai. So the vast after the Gemara, a race learning from our pasuk, as Noshim Zayn Nit Mechuyiv, Sumol Zayn Zayrizin. Vidbal Mitzmila is Dacha Mitzvah, was Sarbunin mit a bestimmt Zeit, begin with Lebelaila. Und wenn Mitzvah was Zayn Verbunin mit Zeit, und Zasch is mein Gramma Zayn Noshim Potter. Tosis asks, what is the Gemara there in Kedushin, which is discussing the mitzvahs incumbent upon women? What does it need to show us from a pasuk that women are not obligated to circumcise their sons? We shouldn't need a special derivation, but rather, mitzvahs mila should fit into the general paradigm that women are only obligated to fulfill mitzvah se she'ein hazman gama. They only must fulfill mitzvah se which are not time-bound. But, as Tosfos, isn't it the case that mila is a mitzvah se shehazman gama? It's a mitzvah which is time-bound, since you can only do mila by day. So if that's the case, it's obvious that women should be pater. And why then did the Gemara have to bring a pasuk to show us that women are pater for mila beyond the general klal of noshim p'turim mitzasei shazman grama, that women are not obligated to fulfill time-bound mitzvahs? Obavigret fear. So the Rebbe answers this question by saying, emestak as the dur chriyandi mitzvah, isabun mitzait. Is obdi mitzvahs der yid, is amol nit an ariel nit opengik. From sight, when it's veranständig, sei bei Tag und sei bei Nacht. That the mitzvah of Mila has a certain dimension which is not time bound. In that, the mitzvah of Mila remains both by day and by night. So, based on that, we might have had a hava mina that given that although the performance of mitzvah Mila must be by day, but the mitzvah Mila remains both by day and by night, that women would be chayiv to give their sons a bris mila. So that's why the Gemara had to show us from a special pasuk that women do not have this chiyuv. The oiber der mont meilis the mitzvah mila as imach hilik dem gashmi alin on the mitzvah tzitzich oich oif shpeter is Eich Given Farman Teir. So these two aforementioned virtues of the mitzvah Mila, that Mila, on the one hand, makes the physical object sacred, and that it furthermore conveys that sanctity eternally. It conveys that sanctity not just at the time of the doing of the mitzvah, but even thereafter. Those two features also were true before Matan Torah. Und der Eber, and for this reason, b'shas Avraham Avinu hat b'shvuin sein Knecht Eliezer, weil der v'shveret darf beis shvuah halten in their hand achiv shel mitzvah. So when Avram asked Eliezer to swear on an object, given that when one takes an oath, one needs to hold a sacred object, a cheftz shel mitzvah. Hat er zu ihm gesagt, simna yodcha tachasarichi. He asked Eliezer to swear upon Avraham Avinu's bris milah. He said, put your hand beneath my thigh. Weil die gedushtse mitzvah von milah is geblieben evständig, und er wird hat Eliezer gekannt schweren bei der mitzvah. Given that the mitzvah of milah still remained even after Avraham did the actual act of milah, the pe'ulah, and therefore Eliezer could swear upon that mitzvah. They made that oifar for entry to Avos Avraham Avinu had gevart if mekayim zayin mitzvah milah b'zayi b'shoratim gehesin zutam. That also explains why it is that Avraham Avinu waited to do the mitzvah milah until Hashem told him to do so. Und er hat sie nicht mekayim gewen von sich allein, pum, wie er hat mekayim gewen alle andere mitzvahs. He didn't fill it himself, just as he filled all the other mitzvahs. Weil die mitzvah, because that mitzvah is endlich zu die mitzvah nach Matan Torah, der mitzvah, sie ist mamschich kedusha in dem Gashmerli. That mitzvah of Milah is compared to the mitzvahs of after Matan Torah, in that it manifests holiness in the physical itself. Und if then, but her gemust habe that zivui, was das is, and asinas kerech romayla. And that's why he needed to be commanded, because Hashem commanding him to do the mitzvah was not a mere command, but it was rather a divine empowerment in order to do the mitzvah, a divine empowerment which allowed him to manifest the holy within the mundane. Let's review. In the first sikha for Parshas Lech Lecha, in the Kote Sichas, Chelek Gimel, the Rebbe observes that although it's the case that Hashem has many conversations with Avram, and he tells him to do many things, such as Lech Lecha, go out of your homeland, and go to the land that I shall show you, and many other conversations and commands, nonetheless, there's only one commandment which Hashem gives Avram, which is a mitzvah that Jewish people perform even today. That's one. And two is that there's only one mitzvah that Hashem gives Avram that pertains to a physical object. Now, that is the mitzvah of Milah, because Jews nowadays do keep mitzvah Milah, and mitzvah Milah is also done in a physical object, in this case, it being a physical portion of the person's body. The Rebbe asks, Chazal tell us in the Gemara, in a few places, that the Avos, they fulfilled the entire Torah even before it was given. So, if that's the case, if they kept the entire Torah even before it was given, then why did Avram wait until Hashem commanded him to do Milah? Why didn't Avram do Milah just like he did all the other mitzvahs? So first we have to note that this assertion of Chazal, that the Avos kept the entire Torah before it was given, is a little bit strange. Meaning, first of all, a lot of the details, the mitzvahs that we keep, were Nitna l'Moshe mi-Sinai. They were given to Moshe at Har-Sinai. For example, the fact that tefillin have to be square, that they have to have four boxes in the head tefillin, that the tefillin have to be black. All of these details are halacha l'Moshe mi-Sinai. Second of all, many of the mitzvahs of the Torah are directly connected to historical events or connected to the fact that Hashem gave us Eretz Yisrael. But Hashem had not given Eretz Yisrael to Avram, at least at that point. And even if he did give it to him, he said, Lazarecha et nena, I will give it to your offspring. So that havtacha, that promise, had not yet been realized. But furthermore, let's consider, for example, the mitzvah of achilas matzah. Matzah recalls a particular historical event which happened to the Jewish people. The Jewish people ran out of Egypt, and their bread did not have enough time to become leavened. So the Jewish people had to eat matzah. So what does it mean that the Avos ate matzah, or the Avos would sit in Sukkos, which symbolizes Jewish people's departure from the land of Egypt? So Chassidus explains that the Avos were not necessarily doing these mitzvahs in a physical way, or if they were, the physical way in which they were doing the mitzvahs doesn't necessarily correspond to the way that we do mitzvahs now. The classic example the Rebbe usually gives in the Likutei Sichos is the story of Yaakov and the Makalis, Yaakov and the staffs which he used in shepherding Lavan sheep. Kabbalah explains those Makalis accomplish the same thing that we accomplish with our act of wearing tefillin. So the first point, just to note in this strange Maimer Chazal, that the Avos were keeping all the mitzvahs is that the Avos were not necessarily keeping the mitzvahs in the way that we keep them. But more fundamentally, what it means, Al-Pi Chassidus, is that each mitzvah symbolizes a certain spiritual idea, and the Avos were in touch with that spiritual idea. Let's take tefillin. Tefillin, Shulchan Aruch tells us, symbolizes shibud hamayach v'alev, commitment of the heart and mind to Hashem, radical, total commitment. So the Avos channeled this commitment, and they also engage in a physical ritual activity to symbolize their commitment to that. Then let's consider the case of matzah. So matzah, so this tells us, symbolizes bittul. It symbolizes the nullification of the ego in that it doesn't rise. So when the Avos were eating matzah, whether they were eating physical matzah or not, the idea there was that the Avos connected this idea of bittul and manifested this idea of bittul of nullification of the ego. Pesach symbolizes Yetzias Mitzrayim, and Yetzias Mitzrayim symbolically means leaving one's constrictions, leaving one's spiritual and psychological boundaries, those things which hold the person back from connecting to their true selves, from connecting to Hashem, and from channeling Hashem within this world. So when we say the Avos kept Pesach, they were Zoicher Yetzias Mitzrayim, it means that the Avos were engaging in that act of leaving their own spiritual boundaries. So now we understand what it means, Al Pi Chassidus Chabad at least, that the Avos were Mekayim Kolatera Kula Ad Shelo Nitna. So they connected to the symbolic spiritual ideas behind the mitzvah, and that they might have often engaged in some physical act to symbolize their spiritual understanding, but not necessarily in the act that we do nowadays. Chassidus Chabad teaches, and this is particularly evident in the Rebbe's Torah, that history is a progression of successive manifestation of divinity in this world. We start out with post-Chet Yetzadas, people who had tremendous spiritual understanding, but didn't necessarily manifest that spiritual understanding in the world. People say, like Adam, Noyach, Shais, Eder, Shem, all those people had deep spiritual understandings, but it wasn't brought down into this world. The Avos, the forefathers, begin the transition of sharing that spiritual understanding in the world. However, their sharing of that spiritual understanding does not impact the physical world, does not transform the physical world. You don't have anything in the physical world which becomes a dover shebekdusha, which becomes inherently holy according to halacha, which has a holy status, which channels holiness, which manifests holiness in the world. The next stage in the progression is Matan Torah. Matan Torah is this watershed moment where the Jewish people now have the ability to confer holiness on physical objects. Say, for example, like tefillin or tzitzis, that these things become a davar shebekdusha, a sefer Torah, that there's an ability to bind the physical and the spiritual, to manifest holiness within the physical. And then the next stage in the historical progression is Yimei HaMashiach, when we'll have the ability to transform everything into a holy object, into an elevated object, where everything will have divinity manifest in it, even if it's seemingly a mundane object, like a table or a water bottle. But that said, there's this linear progression throughout history. And in order for the Jewish people to have this sinas keyach, in order for them to be empowered, to have this ability to transform the world, to transform objects into a davar shebekdusha, the Rebbe tells us that the Avos foreshadowed this. The Ramban tells us that Maisa Avos Simin Libanim. In the Ramban's reading, this means that the historical lives of the Avos foreshadow Jewish history. But the way Chassidus takes this claim, of Maisa Avos Siman Labanim is that the Avos weren't only engaging in historical foreshadowing, but they were also engaging in spiritual foreshadowing, in that the things that they did in the world and their spiritual understandings paved the way for the Jewish people to manifest that, for them to bring it down within Matan Torah, and then ultimately to take the spiritual understandings that the Avos had and manifest those within mitzvahs, within Yom Tovim, within Shavuos. And although it's the case that most of the physical acts that the Avos did not convey holiness onto the objects they did the mitzvahs with, nonetheless, the Rebbe explains that it's very important to symbolically act with physical objects in order for a spiritual idea to manifest in the world. And the Rebbe brings an example of this from the Navi Yechezkel. In the Navi Yechezkel, we see many, many accounts where Yechezkel engages with physical objects in order to express his nevuah. But the Rebbe says it's not just in order to get people aware or to get people talking about the nevuah, but the very fact that Yechezkel engaged in the physical symbolic act made it such that the nevuah would ultimately come true. One example of such a physical symbolic act is in Yechezkel Perek Lamed Zayin, where Yechezkel prophesies that Yehuda and Yisrael, the two kingdoms of the Jewish people, who in his history were divided, and he's speaking after the kingdom of Israel, of Yisrael, had already been exiled, and the kingdom of Yehuda is about to be destroyed by Babel. So Yechezkel prophesies that also loving the future to come, Yehuda and Yisrael are going to be bounded together and they will never be split. And to symbolize this, he takes two staffs, two pieces of wood. On one, he writes Ephraim, and Ephraim at that point was the most significant of the 10 tribes of Malchus Yisrael. And on the other staff, he writes Yehuda, and then he binds the staffs together to physically symbolize that the two kingdoms will never be torn asunder, that the two kingdoms will be unified. So in a similar fashion, says the Rebbe, when there are spiritual ideas, these spiritual ideas need to have some sort of physical symbol, need to have some physical act in order to give them constancy. That explains why it is the Avos would often accompany the spiritual ideas that they had and the spiritual understandings they had with some physical action. Within this theme of Maisa Avos Siman Labanim, that the acts of the forefathers act as a symbolic foreshadowing and empowerment for the children, the Rebbe says that the mitzvah of Milah is unique. And why is that? Because the mitzvah of Milah is the one mitzvah which has the property of the mitzvahs which are post Matan Torah. In that, the mitzvah of Milah conveys lasting holiness to the physical object in which it's done. And that explains why it is that Avraham Avinu waited until Hashem told him to do Milah, and Avraham did not do Milah on his own. Because, says the Rebbe, Avraham would not have been able to transform the physical world just through his own spiritual understanding. Without the empowerment from above, without Hashem empowering him to transform the physical world, he would not have been able to do that. But once Hashem gives him that empowerment through the divine command, then Avram has the ability to transform even the physical. And through having that one mitzvah, in which Avram does create a lasting, impactful transformation on the physical, and not just a momentary symbolic act, Avram is able to convey the power to his children through the Torah, transform a much greater part of reality. And that ultimately allows the people in Yom HaMashiach to transform all of reality and uplift all of reality into a place of holiness.